Got this phone call out of the blue. She said, I'm calling just to talk to you. It's been a while since I've seen you around this town.
Our guest on this evening's Flipside is Kenny Munshaw, Canadian recording artist who also lives in Georgia as well. He'll be performing at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church as a benefit for the Refugee Task Force Committee on Saturday, April the 30th at 7 p.m. Also performing on the bill, Kukli Uriarte. Kenny Munshaw, thanks for talking with us here on Flipside. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How about yourself?
I feel relatively happy.
That's good to hear.
So you've been to Knoxville before. You know something about it?
I have been. You know, it's only once. I've lived in Nashville for quite a while, and I tend to find that, you know, when you're kind of immersed in a town and a thing that you're doing, you become fairly regional. So, but once I kind of moved out, I started, you know, checking out a few places, and I met somebody, a wonderful lady from Knoxville on an airplane and talking about this show, and I said, man, you know, I've never played in Knoxville. I would love to come to Knoxville, and I did come there. Last month to check it out, and loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So you're living in Nashville now, or are you spread out in Canada?
I'm actually in Savannah, Georgia right now.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Canada. I still have a little cabin up there that I where I can fish and stuff like that, but I'm living in Savannah, Georgia.
That's amazing. So you can spend part of the year in one of the warmest places around and part of the year in one of the coolest places, I guess, depending on when you're there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know what it's like down south. It starts getting real hot in June. So, you know, I got family. Most of my family is still all in Canada. So I just kind of go, okay, July and August, nobody really wants to do that much. So I just kind of get in my car, drive through the mountains in West Virginia, Virginia, try to pick up a few more songs en route and come up. And I'm on an island, an acre and a half on an island where I do a lot of writing for my publisher. So it's really nice.
Fantastic. Now, you know, in reading about you, it seems like you're very involved in doing lots of benefits and things of this nature. What about this particular one appeals to you?
Well, I'll tell you, I met April Burt on a plane, and the first thing that appealed to me was her passion for what she was doing. And I'm always taken by that because not everybody has that, Todd. Not everybody has that sort of thing where they really want to make a big difference, and I'm drawn to that, and not even specifically a specific cause, but people that believe that strongly in what they're doing, and I really gathered that from her, and I thought, you know, and we got talking, I thought, you know, if you ever want to do something, and she's, I would love to, and then we emailed, so really that's what drew me to it, and then as I was drawn to it, you know, you find out more information, and I quite frankly believe very strongly that you know, part of what we are here to do is to make a difference in our own communities and others, for that matter, because I think we get different perspectives on different issues. So to be able to do that for me as a songwriter is a wonderful privilege, to be honest with you.
Right. What kind of show do you put together? Do you plan a specific type of set list for a specific type of show, or how do you decide what to play on any given show?
I'll be honest with you, I don't generally have a set list. And part of that is the first band I ever played with in a kid. The guy drew up real bad set lists. So generally speaking, if the first three songs tanked, probably the next 10 were going to, which really meant it felt like you were a long time up there doing stuff that nobody was into. So I have a general idea of what I'm going to do. But I try to get a sense of the audience. And every audience is different. Every town is different, even though people can have, you know, similarities. I try to leave allowance for that, have enough of a draft, I guess, so to speak, of what I'm going to do. And I've done it enough times that I can, to a certain degree, trust my intuitions in that regard.
Yeah, and so in a way, I guess the audience can guide your set by their reactions to what you are doing.
Very much so. And I think bands that kind of, you know, if you look at bands that a lot of us grew up on, I always thought it was really cool, like Bruce Hornsby and guys like The Dead and Fish and And that was a little out of my spectrum in terms of what I do. I'm definitely a little more singer-songwriter orientated, but there was a certain spontaneity to those shows that I always really respected and liked, and I learned from. Yeah, just watching those guys play music. And I got to know Bruce over the years, and you know, we'd had people, you know, say things before the set. And I remember one time he was in Toronto. He says, "Hey man, what do you think I should start with?" And I said, "I don't know. It's like, do something that people in Toronto are familiar with." And so I like that, sort of to leave room for that.
Well, as a Canadian, I bet you know who Bruce Cockburn is then.
I do know who Bruce Cockburn is. He's a remarkable songwriter. Yeah, remarkable songwriter. I wish he was still, you know, doing some things, but, you know, I think he earned his stripes, and an incredible, guitar player. I was really drawn to, I didn't really get to know Bruce. I got to know Rick Emmett better, and Rick Emmett's in a band called Triumph. Rick and I were on the same label for a while. But Bruce is one of those guys I really wish I would have had the opportunity to get to know a little bit better. An incredible guitar player, prolific, very articulate, and I really liked how he was. I loved him as a lyricist as well, a really unique lyricist in that regard. And he had a deep sort of, I think, a spiritual side to his music.
Right. I'm really kind of curious how you ended up in Savannah, Georgia, which is the complete opposite of Canada, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I love Southern food.
Do you ever go to Mrs. Wilkes Dining Service down there?
You know, I haven't been there, and to be honest with you, it's just completely lazy because I don't want to wait in the lineup.
Yeah.
I love Mexican food, but I'll tell you what happened is I had friends that wintered over in Hilton Head, and I could never see myself in a place like Hilton Head, you know, because first of all, I'm not much of a golfer, but that's a vacation spot. And to be quite frank, I have a theory about a town you decide to get a home in or buy a home in. You got to fall in love with it, just like your first girlfriend or your wife or something like that. And when I first went into Savannah, I literally sat down and I fell in love with this town. I said, yep, this is the place. I had no idea. I didn't know a soul there. And as it turns out, within a very short period of time, I ended up in a business relationship with a guy from New York City that had I had rented microphones from 20 years prior and didn't realize it till we were in business for about a year. But I fell in love with that city. It's a great, great city, near the ocean, you know, great, great music, great people. And I love that part of the country. Always did. I always knew I'd have a place in the South one day. Just didn't know how far down south I'd be.
Well, you talk about, you know, going up to Canada and having that sort of nice cabin and as a place to write. Does Savannah in any way inform your songwriting or influence some of the things that you write about?
Yeah, it actually did. My first song that I wrote there was a song called Drive, and it's basically, you know, about somebody just getting in a car and keeping on driving. And part of it was ironic because when I moved to Savannah, my cabin, I'm on an acre and a half on a lake, so you got a boat out, and I'm just off a river called the Moon River. And what was really ironic is when I ended up in Savannah, I'll go downtown, you know, the first day to, you know, just check it out. I see this big statue of Johnny Mercer, who wrote Moon River, and I thought, okay, there's no irony in this. I'm supposed to be here because I'm just off the Moon River where my cabin is in Canada, which is, you know, 1,200 miles away. And I thought, well, okay, I think I'm supposed to be here.
That's great. It sounds kind of idyllic getting to split your time between those two places.
You know, it is, Todd, Canada is a very different culture than the Southern United States, but you know, ultimately, it's that diversity that keeps me interested. I guess it's maybe kind of like switching books. You know, you kind of get into the third chapter, and this is not great. No, I think I'll switch books, and I really like that influence, that the influence of culture, climate, people. However, that being said, I'm not any lover of winter in any way, shape, or form. So, but it's nice in the summer. If you're into fishing, it's great. Great place to be.
I'm glad to hear you say that about books. Let me ask you a question, and if this, you know, you don't want to answer it, it's okay, but how many books at one time have you have partially read lying around the house?
Oh, man, tons. I'll sometimes have three or four on the go. How about you?
Yeah, you hit a spot there. It's something I've been discussing with my wife. She's like, you should finish one of those instead of start another one, you know.
I know. It's the ADD thing kicking in, right? It's just, it's, but if you're anything like me, and I know you mentioned pre-conversation there, you play guitar. Well, it's kind of like finding a new chord, and you forget about the last one that you were playing because you just found a new one. And I totally relate to you there.
Well, we're looking forward to having you in Knoxville. And again, the information on that show, it's Saturday, April the 30th at 7 p.m. at the Tennessee Valley Universalist Church on Kingston Pike. $15 advance tickets. Kukuli Uriarte is going to open the show, and Kenny Munshaw is our guest here on Studio 865, and he will be headlining the show. So we look forward to having you here in Knoxville, which the weather is more like Savannah, but we can have our Canadian episodes.
I'm looking real forward to it, Todd. I can hardly wait. Y'all have a great day.
Again, our guest on Studio 865 Flipside, Kenny Munshaw. His recording that we featured early in the show is Short Stories. Here's another track from that. This is one called Ben. Enjoy.
Benny was a good kid, grew up without a father, and never had much money, and he never really cared. He loved his mother dearly, you could see this clearly through the watery oceans of his deep blue. The simple facts, how it happened at the time. His words, they give me reason to believe that every season has a purpose and a meaning far beyond what I can know. Still mean the most to me. And I remember once he told me about the girl that he first married. Her name was Teresa, and they lived in Montreal. It's gonna be forever, never gonna stay together. The wedding song was me and Bobby McGee. He said we honeymooned out west in San Francisco. Our love was bigger than the mountains by. Far away, and his life had changed forever as the story started ending. His hands began to trembling. He says, listen close to what I've got to say. Yesterday is gone forever. Tomorrow maybe never. All we got that's left now is today. So make sure you travel far and wide until you find her. Climbing every single mountain by the sea. But remember what you've heard from every person, every word. But remember first, you heard it all from me.
You have been listening to the Studio 865 Flipside Podcast. I'm Todd Steed. For more information about these and other digital audio download goodies, visit WUOT.org. Perhaps you've already done that, and that's why you're here. If so, ignore this message.